Jazz 91.9. Hey, good morning. It is a beautiful Thursday morning. And of course, we've got a special guest in the studio. And it is truly my honor, my esteemed honor to have with us this morning none other than Mr. Carl Ware. And should I say author Carl Ware. Good morning. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, Morris. Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here. This is quite a privilege to come and talk about my book, my story, and to share with the audience here on this great WCLK radio station what a beautiful journey that's been.
And you know, I got to tell you that whenever you include WCLK in anything, you know it's a good thing. So we want to give you official a round of applause. Okay.
Thank you.
Not only are you Mr. Carl Ware, you are the author of the highly anticipated book. It's titled Portrait of an American Businessman, One Generation from Cotton Field to Boardroom. Mr. Ware also is Clark Atlanta University trustee and founder of the Coca-Cola Foundation and the first black group president. Mr. Ware is going to share with us briefly about his time, role, and responsibilities at the Coca-Cola Company as well. You know, you lived a wonderful life, and look where you are now.
Thank you so much. It's been a long journey from the cotton fields of Coweta County and from the background that I grew up in the Jim Crow South. It's been a journey, but it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey, inspired by my parents. My mother, Lois Wimberly Ware, and my father, Ulysses B. Ware, were the inspiration behind my life.
Yeah.
They gave me the values that I needed, hard work, being prepared, trust in God,
yes,
and humility. These are values that I would need to overcome seemingly impossible odds, seize opportunity, and make a difference in the lives of others.
Yes.
So the inspiration behind this book was one day I woke up and realized that in this great city of ours, Atlanta, which is known nationally and internationally as a place of culture, of business, of politics, and civil rights, that I had been directly connected with many of the events, the policies, and the people who have shaped this great city. I also realized that I had been part of some world-changing events on the world stage, and in the process met some of the most dynamic people in the world, Desmond Tutu and Nelson Mandela, and these are people who literally changed the course of history of the world. And I felt compelled to put it down in writing, and hence we have this book called Portrait of an American Businessman from One Generation from Cotton Field to the Boardrooms. Archbishop Tutu inspired me along the way. As you notice, he has penned the foreword to my book. I went to visit with him down in Cape Town a few months ago, and he graciously agreed to do that. And he had some very, very inspiring messages in his foreword. I hope everybody get a chance to read it. I won't go through it because I want you to read it. I want you to understand what this man is saying about our journey.
And I got to tell you, Mr. Ware, it's interesting. I was doing a motivation this morning that I do every day. And one of the quotes from Bishop Desmond Tutu says, it's important that people know what you stand for, but it is equally important that they know what you won't stand for. And you've, thanks to your parents, have had a good solid foundation, and you've come to the point now where you've experienced a lot. A lot of successful people will say some of the rough times were the happiest times.
Yes. Well, listen, there are two or three things that I talk about in the book. There are a number of great stories in the book, about 25 great stories.
Nice.
And about 30 to 40 people through whom I tell these stories. So on the issue of what I don't stand for, Maynard Jackson and I, when we took over the reins of the city, Maynard as the first African-American mayor, and I was the first African-American city council president. Mm-hmm. We presided initially over a city that had systematically excluded blacks and women from city contracts. Mm-hmm. And we dispelled a myth in Atlanta that if you included African-Americans and women legislatively in the process, that you would impair the stellar bond rating of the city, the financial standing of the city, and you wouldn't have a $2 billion project coming in under budget and ahead of schedule. We dispelled that. Mm-hmm. We literally taught the Atlanta business community about economic power sharing mm-hmm. through that process of involving African-Americans in the construction of Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. Mm-hmm. We changed Atlanta from a city of exclusion to a city of economic inclusion mm-hmm. in that process. Mm-hmm. So that's just one example. Another example is at Coca-Cola Company, we instilled a culture of diversity by hiring, training, and developing African Americans, not just in the United States, but in Africa and throughout the world, mm-hmm. Making it a more inclusive, diverse company from the board level to senior management throughout the management ranks of the company. And in the process of doing that, creating an opportunity for bottling franchise ownership, not just in the United States with the Philadelphia Coca-Cola Bottling Company, mm-hmm. but in South Africa as well. Mm-hmm. And so those are things and changes that we made during the process of gaining power. Mm-hmm. Power is delivered to us through the grace of God mm-hmm. and through our abilities. But not to use that power for change would be a mistake.
Right.
Positive change.
Sure.
That's what I've been about.
Yeah. And, you know, you are chronological. You are doing it in this book. And you've got the stories to really let folks know what you've experienced. And I got to tell you, you know, going from the cotton fields to the boardroom is a major accomplishment. And we all know that there are a lot of obstacles that have been thrown in your way because of the way you look.
Yeah.
And being in a city like this, trying yeah. to develop all of this understanding and diversification, that is an arduous task. However, you were able to do it.
Well, you know, the great stories I tell in the book from where I grew up in the cotton fields to going to the boardrooms of major multinational corporations, literally chairing the Executive Compensation Committee, for example, for Chevron, where we hire the CEO. Yeah. We compensate the entire executive management team.
Yeah.
There were people who doubted my ability to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, guess what?
Okay.
All that I don't know, I'm going to go learn it.
That's
I went back to Stanford University to learn executive compensation as a director of Chevron. I find that as you go throughout these roles, whether it's in corporate America or as an entrepreneur or in a professional role, understand that renewing your knowledge base helps you to overcome any obstacles that may be in front of you. And it helps you to demand that I must be judged on my performance and not on the color of my skin or by my religion or by my agenda. Judge me on my performance. And that's what preparation, hard work, and delivery gives you that advantage.
Yeah, and you know, it's similar to what my dad used to say. He did the corporate thing with IBM for 30 years. He was like, look, when there's something that you don't know on a brand new job, for example, the first 3 months, you're fine. But then he said after the 6 month period, everybody will know that you don't know. So it's
exactly.
important to do the research as you've done.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something to really expand on because we're put into these positions of pressure. And sometimes we don't know how to navigate ourselves, but basically it goes back to what you said, doing the research.
Doing the research and getting prepared. Let me give you an example. When I was promoted to vice president of special markets for the Coca-Cola Company, I went back to school. I had a master's in public administration and urban and regional planning from the University of Pittsburgh, but I went to Georgia State. I was one of the first students in the executive MBA program.
Wow.
I knew I needed quantitative skills
yes.
to handle and manage that job.
Yes.
When I was promoted to group president of Africa, I told my bosses, Don Keogh at the time, who was president, Roberta Gazueta, who was chairman and CEO, I said, look, I don't quite feel adequate in terms of what I need to go to London and to run the Coke business in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went off to Harvard. I went to the International Senior Management Program. There were 94 of us, only four of us from America. The rest were from 32 countries around the world.
Mm-hmm.
These were people who were going to the next level just as I was. And through that program, I learned the business of taking charge mm-hmm. of a major multinational function.
Mm-hmm.
And so continuous learning, continuous preparation, dedication and self-confidence were those things that steeled at me through the process and the successes that I've had.
Yeah. And you know, some people are called, but very few are chosen. And you are one of the chosen ones. And you know, success leaves footprints, and you're definitely leaving your footprints in your brand new book. And I think that it's important, not just for people like me, but for people that really want to understand how to navigate sometimes when you get stuck in situations, because you know, life is a process where we all get tired at some point.
Oh,
and
yes.
we need that pushing point too,
yes.
as well, you know, so the self-confidence has a lot to do with it.
Well, it does have a lot to do with it. And I tell you what, I advise young professionals today that learning to navigate the corporate culture is not easy.
Right.
But the first thing that you need to know that you're competing in a global marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
That means that you have to stay prepared
yeah.
and to stay ahead of the curve, especially if you're an African-American
yeah.
or woman.
Yeah.
It means that you have to establish strong and vibrant career goals,
mm-hmm.
have the agenda for the company, but also have your own personal agenda. Make sure that those two agendas coincide and complement each other.
Sure.
Learn how to lead. You know, there are a lot of great managers. So that's smart people all. Everybody's smart now today. Internet
sure.
has proven that. Everybody is smart.
Right.
But listen, learning how to be a leader is the key. Not just a manager, but a leader.
Hmm.
Robert W. Woodruff, the late patriarch of the Coca-Cola Company, made a statement, and I got to know him fairly well. He said that the difference between a leader and a great leader is that a great leader is able to see around corners.
Mm-hmm.
He or she has vision.
Mm-hmm.
Just the ordinary leader just sees to the end of the block.
Mm-hmm.
Learn to see and have vision for the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he meant, around the corners.
Mm-hmm.
And things that you can't imagine or see, but learn how to lead.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to lead others. Nelson Mandela made a comment in Long Walk to Freedom that says that there are, after climbing many hills, many great hills, it only prepares you that there are many more hills to climb.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And that's what I always keep out in front of me.
You know, it's similar to what does the mountain climber do once he reaches the top of the mountain? He finds another mountain to climb.
He finds another mountain to climb.
Absolutely.
There's only another hill to climb.
Yeah.
It never ends.
Yeah. And, you know, it is so, as I'm engaged with you at right now, you know, I can tell that this book has so much information in it. You know, and when it comes to leadership, a lot of folks that I've seen can only see in front of them and not down the road.
That's right.
And once you develop that leadership, it seems like you have a great foundation to the point where you understand that leaders sometimes take more of the blame and less of the credit.
Well, you know, there's another quote from Woodruff, and one of my heroes in corporate America, Robert W. Woodruff, the late patriarch of the Coca-Cola Company. Mm-hmm. He said, "No, there's no telling how far a man or woman can go in life if he or she doesn't mind who gets the credit."
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
You know, it's similar to the more people you help become successful, the more successful you become.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Again,
that's the key.
Again, for folks that are just tuning in, we've been talking to, this is incredible. I could talk to you all day because of all the history and so much information and knowledge that you have. Mr. Carl Ware, also a member and of our board of trustees here, and he has a brand new book out, and it's anticipated, The Portrait of American Businessmen, and it's one generation from cotton field to boardroom. And I tell you, it's just it's refreshing to be able to know that there are people like you that have done the things that you've done based on some of the things that you've gone through. And it takes a lot to be able to sit here now and to let everybody know, you know, success ain't easy.
That's right. And if I had to leave one thought in the minds of, again, I like communicating with all people, but especially young folks, that no matter the circumstances of your birth, you too can achieve. No matter where you come from, you can make a difference in the lives of others and in your time on this earth. So don't let your circumstances of your birth be an obstacle. Let it be an inspiration.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
That's right. And again, as I mentioned to you earlier, a lot of successful people look back on some of the struggles that they've had as a good point in their life.
Exactly. I take lessons and inspiration from a lot of people that I talk about in this book, members of my high school coaches, you know, what the influence that Mrs. McClendon and Coach Henry Seldon had on my life. I take a lot of, I give a lot of credit to my college professors right here at Clark Atlanta University.
Mm-hmm.
I give a lot of credit to the preachers in my life who have given me the inspiration and the spirit of God honed in my everyday world. I give credit to grassroots leaders like Miss Susie Laborde from the Atlanta Public Housing Project and Miss Dorothy Mae Richardson out of the slums of Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. who changed that city literally in her leadership. I give credit to corporate leaders, to Maynard Jackson, my friend, my buddy. He and I were a formidable team.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot from that great man.
Yes.
And I give a lot of credit to presidents that I've known, to generals that I've known. I give a lot of credit to a sheriff in Coweta County who led my father to become the first African-American to vote since Reconstruction.
Wow.
In the 5th Congressional District of Coweta County at the time. I even highlight a police chief who I got inspired. I was chairman of the police committee in my first role on the city council. We conducted an investigation of the Atlanta Police Department, and which led to the firing of Police Chief John Inman, who was a notorious racist police chief who gave orders to plant extra weapons on his officers so that when they accosted a black man in downtown Atlanta, they had that weapon to say that he was resisting arrest. And so, in odd ways, there are a lot of people who are not mentioned in this book. We don't talk about people who use the racist motivations in this country this day to incite hatred and to incite distrust.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about those folk.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned your coaches having an influence on you. What sport did you play? You look like a running back over there.
Well, I tell you, this is an interesting story because I played basketball, actually.
Okay, point guard.
And I was a point guard. I was pretty good at it. I played basketball more because basketball season starts in the early winter, late fall, early winter. In the late summer, early fall, we were picking cotton. and bringing in the harvest on the farm. So wow. That was football season.
Okay.
That's why I didn't play football.
Exactly. Well, I got to say, this has just been an exhilarating conversation with Mr. Carl Ware, also a member of our Board of Trustees. I can't say enough about how excited I am with your new book here. And it's great to be an author. And you know, this is going to be some really good reading. Portrait of an American Businessman, One Generation from Cotton Field to the Board Room. You have been an excellent interview, and I can't say enough about you. But one thing I do know for sure is the world needs more people like you, and I want you to keep striving and keep shining, okay?
Yeah, more hills to climb.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
It never stops.
Yes, it does.
And of course, life is a lifelong learning process, and we don't stop learning until we stop.
That's right.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Again, Mr. Ware, a gem. You are a light, and just as the ships sail the seas at night, they need a lighthouse to show them the way. Continue being a lighthouse, my friend.
Thank you so much. I'll do my very best.
Indeed. Sam Burson, we appreciate you as well. This is Atlanta's Jazz Station. It's 91.9 WCLK.